UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
As physicians are able to make great strides and advances in surgical technique, anesthesia, and pain control, it's now possible that total joint replacement can be done as an outpatient. Here to tell us about that is Dr. Ellie Ghanem. He's an orthopedic surgeon with UAB Medicine. Dr. Ghanem, this is a very exciting topic to me. I find it fascinating. Tell us a little bit about the evolution of total joint replacement. What's different now? Give us a little bit about the progression of improvement from the 60s till now.
Yeah, well, this is it's an exciting topic. It's gone through about 50 years of evolution. We started doing hip and knee replacements back in the 60s. There's a lot of people at that time had hip and knee arthritis. Unfortunately, the implants themselves were not that good at that time. They were lasting close to about 3, maybe 5 years at best, in which case a lot of patients unfortunately ended up going back on, you know, rocking chairs or at that time, you know, wheelchairs. So it has improved from a biomechanical standpoint. The implants have now lasting longer. It's one of the big questions I get always from patients when they come to clinic. They ask, you know, is it going to last 10 years? Well, current implants last close to about 20. So, the big thing with this is that, you know, we've done a great deal of work with the implants themselves. They're now lasting 20, 25 years. But we've always lagged behind a little bit, I think, from a getting the patients up and going, walking. So back in the 60s and 70s, even in the early 80s, we used to keep, and it was across the country, it wasn't just a few institutions. Most of the institutions and surgeons would probably keep their patients in the hospital for about 7 days, sometimes up to 10. And they would be in bed for most of the time, not putting too much weight, not walking too much on those implants. And again, it goes back to the biomechanics portion of it. The implants were not that good. There was a bit of hesitation, a little bit of fear the implants would fail early. However, since we fixed this and it's improved dramatically, we've collaborated probably over the past 10, 15 years with our anesthesia colleagues. They've done a marvelous job with multimodal pain management. It's included numerous things, including nerve blocks, spinals, different types of pain regimens. And we've gone away, especially in the past 5 or 7 years, away from opioids, and you probably have noticed that on TV, a lot of things popping up on opioids. So we're doing a lot of surgeries now with, you don't have to take so much morphine or Dilaudid or any other medications. So we've done great work from that perspective. Our anesthesia colleagues have done, you know, marvelous jobs in terms of improving their nerve blocks as well. And our physical therapy department, not just at UAB, but across the nation, has done a great job in terms of getting more aggressive with the patients, walking them. And we've gone away from using a lot of accessory equipment to the patients. So we're basically unleashing the patient. They can walk as much as they can. They are unlimited. That's what I use in clinic to tell the patients that after surgery, they are unlimited and they can do anything they want to. So it's progressed from past over 40 or 50 years. Like I said, we used to keep patients in bed for a long time, not walk them. Now it's gone almost the other way around. We get patients up. They start doing their exercises same day. So at UAB right now, we get most of our patients, if not all of them, up the same day. And then they do therapy. And then they go home. Most of them go home the following day. Now, this has progressed with time. So we're working now on a very good program at UAB, and we've done this on a handful of patients where they get up the same day, they do therapy, but it's a bit more aggressive. They do multiple rounds of therapy, and we try to get them home in the afternoon. So that's the same day surgery perspective, you know, that we do at Highlands Hospital here. And we've done it so far successfully on a handful of patients, and we're hoping to, you know, improve it and expand it into doing it. I'm thinking about maybe 30% of our patients can probably end up having the same day experience.
Isn't that fascinating? So, Dr. Ghanem, as I mentioned in my intro about them being done as outpatient procedures, as you just explained to us, who is this emergent delivery model driven by? Do you feel that this was both patients and payers' desire to reduce their costs? Is it better for you physicians? Who is it driven by?
Oh, that's a good question. So it's driven by both. As surgeons, we always try to improve. Spending more time in the hospital is not always beneficial. You can be exposed to different germs. And if there's really no need, if you're able to achieve your goals and milestones, the best place to recover is honestly at home. So over the years, our length of stay at UAB and across the nation has gone from, let's say, about 4 days down to two. And now it's, you know, for a simple hip and knee replacement, it's gone down to about a day or so. And like I said, we're working on same day patients, but it's both. And this goes back to what, for example, knee scopes and ACL reconstructions, 20, 30 years ago, they were originally done overnight. Patients would stay overnight, maybe a day or two in the hospital for just an ACL reconstruction. That's unheard of now. It's they're expected to go home. It's a same-day procedure. And I think we're going down that same pathway. And that's partially driven also by, for example, CMS, Medicare, Medicaid, as well as the private insurance companies. There's always a push to supply value, better quality of care, and that means basically you get the same quality but at a lower price. And cutting the cost down helps everyone, to the patient, private insurers, also as well as to the government. And inevitably, you know, you're supplying the same quality of care. There's no difference in care. The patients are not at a higher risk of complications. There's numerous studies that have popped up in the past 2 or 3 years looking at this. And there's the rates of complications and readmissions within 90 days are the same. So that's why it is a safe procedure, but it's not for everyone. There's definitely criteria to look at before we sign up a patient for same day.
Well, so let's get into that then. Speak about patient selection criteria that they would have to meet. And then while you're doing that, speak about the strategies that you employ to optimize their recovery after an outpatient total joint replacement. So speak about patient selection for us.
Yeah, the patient selection is key. So we don't want to do surgery as on an outpatient, on a patient who's not capable of. So unlike ACL surgeries where the patients are all young in their 20s, for example, and don't have medical issues, a lot of our total joint patients, total knees and total hips, come in different variations, and some of them are on the sicker side. So there are some criteria we implement. Basically, you can summarize into maybe two or three big criteria. One of them is if you have any severe lung problems, severe COPD, that can impair you from achieving those milestones, which we'll talk about. Two, the more common one is probably cardiac. So any heart issues, heart disease, bypasses, stents, AFib as well on Coumadin, those are definitely one of the exclusion criteria. Third one would be history of a PE, DVT. Fourth one would be infections. The fifth one we added is not medically related, but it relates to the social aspect of the patient. If they have no social support at home, if there's nobody at home to help them achieve those milestones, it is a bit difficult. So most of these, if not all of them, same-day patients will require, you know, some family support, some social support to get them home. That's a key thing. Now, once we've screened the patient and made sure that they can tolerate the same-day procedure so they don't have an increase in complications or infections, We then do the surgery as normally as same, pretty much the same thing. We implement the anesthesia protocols are the same. The spinals that we do, as well as the nerve blocks, are implemented to pretty much all the patients that come, whether they're the same day or they're an overnight stay. But then afterwards, they get a little bit more aggressive therapy. They get close to maybe two, maybe sometimes three sessions of therapy. And then the goal would be to walk the patient, and it's an arbitrary goal, but it's a goal that's used by physical therapy to at least make sure that they're safe for home. It's about 150 feet they have to walk. Some patients may have stairs at home, in which case we do have a step simulator to get them to at least go up maybe four or five steps to make sure that they can do steps. Another criteria is to make sure that they urinate or have voided at least once, and that's usually common with any outpatient procedure. So those are our main exclusion criteria, and what we implement most, I guess, to get the patients outpatient to do an outpatient or a same-day surgery is basically the therapy. It's more aggressive, and the patients are definitely they're all for it. When you bring it up to them, and they have to be very much interested. If a patient's not really interested, they're not going to participate as aggressively with a therapist. So definitely buy-in from the patient when we see them in clinic, if they're interested in such a program, is key.
Wow, what a great explanation. So tell us about your success rates. How have your outcomes been? And while you're discussing that, some of these are done in the hospital, some are done at surgical centers. Do you feel there's tensions rising between hospitals and orthopedic surgeons as a result? Have you seen any of that?
Well, that's a good point. There have been numerous studies so far, probably two or three that I can remember in the past two or three years since this has become quite a hot topic. Where they've compared the outcomes from same-day surgery in a hospital setting versus, for example, in a surgery center, ambulatory center. The results are actually the same. There's no difference. There may be actually decreased cost to the system, the health system, if you want to consider it, doing it as in a surgery center. Now, we do our same-day surgery in Highlands, which is a small hospital. It's about 150 beds, and we've gotten so far very good results, no complications or any problems with it. Again, due to our strict selection criteria, our great interaction with physical therapy, our nursing staff, and of course, anesthesia department. That being said, there is a potential with UAB collaborating with other hospitals in the area to have access to a surgery center nearby, which may be potentially we may want to look into. But so far, we're doing most of our same-day surgeries in the hospital setting. And it is very safe, and it achieves the same results.
What a fascinating topic this is. It's really interesting in how it has progressed and evolved over the years. Dr. Ghanem, wrap it up for us. Tell other physicians what you would like them to know about outpatient total joint replacement and what you're doing there at UAB.
Yeah, I'd like all the physicians out there, different specialties, know that this is an option. If you have a patient who doesn't have any cardiac, lung problems, all the exclusion criteria I mentioned, if they are motivated and want to undergo this same day procedure, this experience, they can definitely refer to us. We take good care of them, and honestly, we have very good results. And I think with time, in the next 5 years, we'll probably end up doing, I think, close to about 30% of our joint replacements as an outpatient. So this will become a more common theme as time goes by.
Great information. Thank you so much, Doctor, for joining us today and telling about this evolution. It really is an exciting time in total joint replacement. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That wraps up this episode of UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, head on over to our website at uabmedicine.org/physician. If you as a provider found this podcast as informative as I did, please share with other providers, share with your friends and family, and share on social media, and be sure to check out all the other fascinating podcasts in our library. Until next time, I'm Melanie Cole.